Blog Talk Radio.
Been running through me like you got somewhere to be. You're stuck in a full-time daydream. Always in a rush, I know you're busy for lunch. Taking pictures of your coffee.
Yes, we do. We all go running around and around and around. And now we're going to stop running around for a while, sit back and relax, and listen and enjoy the moment. Yes, this is our official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. He's Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. And if you want to hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it's time to step into the sippy zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I am dedicated to explore a life that is lived with clarity, confidence, control, and awareness. Tippy Talk is where you go from where you are to where you want to be. Yes, this is our official band, newbornband.com. Amazing band. I went to see a show, and it was so awesome to see them live. It was just unbelievable. So I would invite you to check them out on newbornband.com. We have a few new CDs, and also another event coming up. So please feel free if you enjoyed. I will also let you today listen to one of their new songs called Gravity. And you let me know if you enjoy it or what you think about it. But on our special day today, on this amazingly beautiful day in February, which is supposed to be the dead of winter, it kind of feels like the beginning of spring in New York City, if you happen to be around here. But strangely enough, I believe we have the same temperature here as we do in LA, which I thought was really amazing, because LA is known to be California dreaming with the paradise. Well, we're at 53 degrees and they're at 61. Not much different, because our 53 degrees is their kind of, because they're dry and they somehow feel colder because they're always hot. Okay, that's it for my weatherman dissertation. Because we have something very important to discuss today. And yes, I am a procrastinator. I have to work really hard every day not to procrastinate. And it gets easier every day. But when you're a procrastinator, it's the only way you can really understand that. So we're going to be talking a little bit about procrastinating today, because I'm dedicating an entire Sunday afternoon to a new method that I found that can actually take you from procrastination to productivity and self-discipline in a fun and pleasurable way. Now, that's the only way that it works for me, because if it isn't fun and it isn't pleasurable, it gets really difficult, and after a while, you just kind of walk away from it. And besides the fact that I want to enjoy my life, I don't want to stress. When I was in college, I was always stressed. I was stressed because I was procrastinating, and I was stressed because I wasn't procrastinating. I was stressed because I had too many classes, and then I was stressed because I had too little classes. It was when I started grinding my teeth, and I learned about stress. And towards the end of my college career, I had a horrible thing happen to me. And after that happened, I realized that I cannot, and I won't, and I refuse to live my life as a procrastinator. And I'll tell you what it is in a minute, but let me give you a little bit of a quote of what I got this morning as I was thinking about procrastination and what I was going to talk about. This is from Neil Donald Walsh, the guy that wrote the book Conversation with God. He's also the guy that I went to see out in Oregon. We did what he calls a weekend retreat. I would call it a weekend gathering of a bunch of like-minded people who really want to grow and understand their spirituality. But I thought it was really appropriate when I got this because it says, your agenda for this day has been set in your soul. The only question now is whether you will listen to that. And then he asks, do you know why you're alive? To give voice and action and physicality to God. To become the grandest version of the greatest vision ever you held about who you are. Everything else is besides the point. It will involve, of course, it will grab you. It will involve you, of course. It will grab you and hold you and make you think it is important today. But it will be very much besides the point. Stay on course and stay happy. And so I thought it was really amazing how I was thinking about procrastination. And then he talks about your agenda for this day. One of the symptoms of procrastination, a lot of the symptoms are there of procrastination, but one of the symptoms is course while you're trying to live your life. So here you are walking along, singing along, trying to live your life, and you have an agenda and you have things that you want to accomplish. And the things that you want to accomplish will never get accomplished if you don't stay on course. So as I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to present procrastination, I get this message. So I definitely thought it was a powerful message for me today. And so I want you to think about it, what it will take for you, if you're a procrastinator, to stay focused on the agenda. And according to Neil, it's set in your soul, is already set your agenda. And I tend to believe that because I do believe that we have a destiny, but I also believe that we have a free choice. So even if your agenda has been set, we still have to consistently keep on making the choices, keep on making the same choices. And so I am really kind of feel like the more I think about procrastination, the more I think it's something that needs like an AAA meeting or something, because I can see people facing up to it. And facing up to it is like the first step to being able to overcome it. And I could see people standing up on the podium and saying, hi, my name is Tippi and I'm a procrastinator. And I admit it. But I think if you're a procrastinator, you know it, generally speaking, depending on how you define it. And if you define it as somebody who doesn't get things done, who doesn't do much, then yes. But a lot of procrastinators are very productive. They do things. They just don't do it as well as they could have done it if they didn't procrastinate. And they don't do it as well as they should have done it if they didn't procrastinate. And they always feel one step behind. They always feel everything is done the last minute. Yes, that's your standard everyday procrastination nation. Okay, so if it were a nation of procrastinators, that's what we would look like. Nothing that didn't have to get done today wouldn't get done today. And everything would get done the last minute. And it would be definitely not an A nation. It would be more like a B, but probably more. A few people might be a B if they have maybe photographic memory or exceptional skills, but mostly it would be a C nation. So it's really not a good place to be. So that's the standard procrastination definition that most people see. But let me give you a few of the symptoms of a procrastinator that may not really exactly make you think that you're a procrastinator, but if these are some of the things that you have to deal with on a daily basis or on a regular basis, then you are a procrastinator, but that's more like a hidden procrastinator. So if you find that you're never on time or that you have a really hard time getting to places on time, if you find that's a hidden procrastinator, if you find that you're disorganized. Being disorganized and being always late is not so hidden as a procrastinator, but a lot of people feel like they're doing so much, they never procrastinate in everything that they have to do, but they're disorganized and they don't get to places on time. That's a hidden procrastinator. If you don't see how that is related to procrastination, that's one of the things that you need to connect in order to be able to get over it. If you find that you, well, there's a lot more, but that's the two hidden, I would say, is the biggest one that come up to the front. There's a lot more on hidden procrastinators that I will talk about on our special Sunday that I'm dedicating to procrastinators, which is on March 5th, only because we don't have that much time right now to get into detail about that. But we do have time to do a few other things that I think you will enjoy. And if you are a procrastinator, there are things that you can do that I will talk about today that you can start doing that right away. And you can also always join us on March 5th. So here is the phone number that you can call in if you're listening. And the number is 914-338-0686. If you're a procrastinator and you're here with us and you have called in, feel free to jump in anytime because your microphone is open. If you want to, I'm going to give you something really cool.
That's very funny.
Isn't that funny? Thank you, Robert. Welcome to Tiffy Talk. I am so happy that you called today. So I am about to do something that I think will really help procrastinator. It's called 8 Things to Do Before Breakfast. There's a lot of things that you can do before breakfast that really will help your day be more productive. And so I have one question for you before I do that. Are you a procrastinator?
At that moment, I wasn't. Sometimes I am.
Okay, so you know, everybody sometimes is, because nobody's perfect and everybody goes through it. But when somebody says they're a procrastinator, it's not even sometimes. It's kind of your brain works differently. And I will explain that on my son and Procrastination Sunday. But basically, it's an idea that I got from somebody, really great way that he put it, that your monkey takes over your brain. And that's when you procrastinate. But I'll go into detail of that because I really want to give you the 8 things that you can do before breakfast that really makes you your day more productive, regardless of whether you're a very productive person or a very disciplined person, regardless of whether you think you're a procrastinator. So one of the first things that you can do when you wake up, which is really, really important, is what I call brain dump. And what is a brain dump? I'm not asking you to take your brain out of your head and dump it into the garbage disposal because, frankly speaking, in New York, there are no garbage disposals. I don't know why. I find that most of the houses here must have been built before garbage disposals were made, and so none of them have garbage disposals. So what's a brain dump? Robert, do you know what a brain dump is? Okay, so a brain dump, I guess Robert doesn't know. Brain dump is... the first thing when you wake up in the morning, you have a whole bunch of things rushing your head that you're thinking about. You may be thinking about the laundry. You may be thinking about the phone calls you have to make. You may be thinking about meetings that you have to do. You may be thinking about things that may go wrong or things that may go right. It's not necessarily negative things, but it's also a lot of stressful things. And everything just comes rushing to you in the morning. And that's a really great way to start your day in a really bad way, because it kind of catches on. Whatever you do in the morning catches on, and you take it with you all day long. So if you wake up with a whole bunch of things attacking you in your brain, and you're thinking first thing in the morning, then those things are going to keep attacking you all day long, and you're going to have to kind of try to swim through this swamp of brain dump. So if you really sit down and take all those things and take it out of your head, like as if you would do it physically, just do it mentally, clear it all out. It's like, you know what? I don't want to hear it. I just woke up. So listen, brain, I want you to shut up for a while, because I'm going to orient myself for the day. So it's basically shutting off your brain for a few minutes when you wake up as you focus on what kind of a day you'd like to have. I like to have a nice, relaxed day. If it's a rainy day, then there's different things that I like to really get into that I enjoy. If it's a rainy day for me, I like to put on some really great music and get into the mood of the rain and get into the mood of doing things inside the house as much as possible. Because me personally, I don't like walking around in the rain. I don't like getting wet. I love it when it rains on the outside and I'm on the inside. If it's a beautiful day like today and the sky is bright blue, then I plan my day as much as possible on the outside. And so plan your day the way you like it, based on the things you have to do, based on the things you want to do, and based on the things that you have committed yourself to do. And get rid of everything first thing in the morning. So brain dump. One of the ways to do it is to take a piece of paper, to draw two columns on it. And on one side, you just write down things that you're thankful for. Going into a thankful mode is one of the best and easiest way to switch the entire day from being a day of Murphy's Law into being a day of your own law and your own order. And so on one side, just list everything that you're thankful for. It could be big things, little things, medium things, all kinds of things. And on the other one, you write down all those things that are weighing you down, all those things that bother you, that aren't complete, all those people who disrespect you, who don't respect your values, the people that don't support you, the situations that don't support you, everything that weighing you down. You can even include in there your to-do list. Everything that you know that needs to get done, all kinds of events, you can do future events and things that you want to do. And all the thoughts that come into your mind, just write it on that piece of paper. And it doesn't even have to be in any specific order. It just has to be out of your brain onto the paper. Just write down everything. Because the brain is such an amazing thing that when you do that, especially when you do that first thing in the morning and you get it out of your brain into a piece of paper, somehow your brain understands that he doesn't have to think about it anymore because it's right there on the paper. And that way, if you want to think about it, all you have to do is look at it. And then your brain will give you a break. Because when you try to remember everything, it just starts off with a very, very stressful day. And so once everything is written down, then you can sit back, you can smile and visualize what it is that you want to have happen today, what it is that you need to make happen today. And then you can do your real to-do list of what it is that you're going to do. If you do this first thing in the morning, for me, it's actually after I drink a cup of water. Because I found that if you have any kind of digestive issues, any kind, one cup of water on an empty stomach can take care of 50% of those problems. Okay, so for me, the first thing I would do is drink a cup of water. Then the important thing for everyone is do a brain dump. That way you can create a fresh to-do list. Okay, so that's three things. You have the brain dump, the fresh to-do list, the water, and the brain dump stuff on a piece of paper, four things that you do. Let me get to the fifth one because I'm going to give you eight. So after you finish with your brain dump and you write your to-do list for the day, then you sit down and don't rush off yet. Don't go anywhere. Because if you start rushing without having a plan, I guarantee you, you're not going to be as productive. So you sit down and you prioritize that list that you made. The things that absolutely have to happen no matter what, go on top. And they're the first thing you do. Because in the morning, you have the most energy. You want to do the most important things first. The things that could happen tomorrow or the things that could happen later, and the things that are not going to disrupt your life if they didn't happen, those things you could put at the bottom of the priority list. And that's what we call journaling. And to me, that's the five I think I gave you, most important things. Obviously, when I get dressed, that's another thing that has to happen in the morning. And another thing that I like to do, but I don't really do enough, is know what you're having for dinner. Because one of the things that a lot of people procrastinate about is cooking or preparing meals. And what happens is if you just wait and wait and wait until you're starving to start thinking about what you're going to eat, there's a good chance that you're going to run over to a place like McDonald's and grab anything because you're so hungry at that point just to satisfy that hunger. But if you plan a little bit ahead, then your meals are going to be so much more enjoyable. Okay, so, and the eighth thing is do something like either meditate, if you meditate, pray, if you pray, read a Bible, if you read a Bible, something spiritual for even 5 minutes, 5 to 15 minutes. That's a great way to start a day. And that's great tips, and that's all nice and dandy, but sometimes that feels like telling someone, just don't do drugs. It's like, yeah, great, thank you very much. But it's very nice, I like to do it, but I don't do it. I don't do it because, you know what, I'll do it tomorrow. Because your procrastinating monkey comes in and says, you can do that tomorrow. Today we're going to do none of that stuff. We're going to do what we usually do, is maybe drag out of bed 2 minutes before you have to rush into the shower and run and do things. So how do you overcome that? That's what that Sunday procrastination meeting is all about. It's about identifying the issues and the specific things that you want to overcome, which you can do. It's about learning strategies of how to do things. And that's fine and that's great. And you can read a million books on that. But the most important thing, it's actually getting to do it. Because as you know, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. But if you really want to drink that water, if you really want to enjoy the sweetness of the water, of an easy life, a pleasurable life, a successful life, the kind of life that you have always dreamed of. Not necessarily your dreams. I'm talking about the kind of life that is just enjoyable. Just getting up in the morning and smiling, getting up in the morning knowing that you have all these amazing things planned on this amazing new day is really to be in an atmosphere and surround yourself with people that support you. They support your vision, they support your way of life. People that want to do what you want to do in the wrong way. And that's what I'm passionate about, because I could never overcome anything all by myself. I'm not saying that people are not difficult. A lot of people are very difficult to deal with. But that's another amazing challenge that is great, is to deal with those situations in such a way that it becomes your pleasure, not your pain in the neck. And then once you do that, we will also be talking about one way to keep your momentum going so that you can constantly have greater goals. You can constantly grow. You can constantly evolve. Like Michael Korda, who's a good writer, actually I think he's a great writer, he said, one way to keep momentum going is to have constantly greater goals. And I totally agree, because once you get into a momentum where you're getting up, you have a little bit more control over your day. So let's say if you have 25% control right now, and you begin to get to a level where you actually have 50% control of how your day is going, that feeling is better than any high you can ever have, of any drug you can ever take, and of any euphoria you can get involved with. But once you tap into it, you want to spiral it, you want to grow it, you want to tap into it more, because it is so delicious. So it is like a shot of endorphins. That's the best way that I can describe it. So what I was doing was looking at my book, Planning Power, which is actually now available on Amazon. And in my book, Planning Power, it's about how to plan your life. I didn't really focus on procrastination, because it was more about the plan. But I have a chapter here which I dedicate to the organization power. And I have a chapter that I dedicate to self-discipline. And I think that these two chapters in the entire book, even though I think it's great stories and I think you would enjoy it and maybe even benefit from it, but the essence and the core thing that you can tap into that would transform your life is the organization and the discipline. And right now I'm going to read you a little bit about from the chapter of self-discipline, because I think it's so powerful and I think you would benefit a lot. And if you want to get the rest of the chapter, it is on Amazon. It's called Planning Power by Tippi Feldenstein. And I actually am going to be giving away a copy of my book to everybody that signs up for our amazing meeting on March 5th on Sunday. I'm going to give you a free book, because right now I have two tickets left for a free dinner, which is what I'm giving. But once these two tickets are gone, and I plan for them to be gone within a day or two, I will go to the next special, which is I will give you a copy of my book, and I only have four. So it will be only for four people who sign up for that amazing meeting. They will get a free copy of my book. Also, we're going to have some amazing entertainment, which is a surprise that will definitely make you laugh and you will enjoy it. And we're also working on some music that I think you would love. So I'm going to read you a little bit about the self-discipline. And if Robert is on the line, I just wanted to ask you, do you want to hear a little bit more about self-discipline? Robert,
absolutely.
Are you? Yes. Do you want to hear what I wrote?
Please.
Okay. So this is I don't have chapter numbers because I don't like chapter numbers. But this is a chapter called Self-Discipline. And if you're going to get a copy of the book, it's on page 89. And I really highly recommend that you do if you want to make this year one of your most powerful years. And so a life lived by choice is a life of conscious action. A life lived by chance is a life of unconscious reaction. And again, it's Neil Donald Walsh. I really promise you that he's not the only one I'm quoting, but it just happens to be that I quote him here. And what does that mean? That means that if you actually make a choice on what kind of day you're going to have and what kind of actions you're going to take, that's a life of your choice. But if you live your life based on reactions of other people in other circumstances, then you're living an unconscious life by chance of whatever happens. So because this is right smack in the middle of the book, you're not going to know how I got to the guest house. But somehow I ended up in a guest house because I didn't have another choice. I was in this cyclone in my life. It was called Moving Land, which you'll have to read the book to figure out what Moving Land is. But I don't want you to go to Moving Land. It is not a fun cyclone at all. It is one cyclone that you want to get off. So I got to the guest house, and the guest house was really my gateway into Moving Land, where I was now trapped. It was attached to my soul, and I couldn't find my way back home. Feeling accomplished and superior, I walked straight, despite the fact that the diagnosis was sclerosis. I had just been in a car accident where my back was broken, and they actually told me I have sclerosis, which is another word for hunchback. I danced and I practiced my own version of yoga with bones that had grown crooked. I ran around with the children and acted as if my body was never shattered. I vaguely remembered the miraculous biological machine that I controlled. I was still grateful for it, but I also felt stuck, unable to move forward because I was in this house, in a one-room guest house where, well, like I said, you'll have to find out how I got there. So standing somewhere between the concrete specific plan that I had and the glory of watching your life unfold in a magical sequence of events is a concept called self-discipline. It's the key allowing us to do the things that we say we're going to do and act on our promises regardless of how we feel at any given moment. All the planning in the world means nothing without self-discipline because it's the tool that will put your plan into action on the map and in your life. Self-discipline is a small price to pay now in order to achieve the goals and avoid the big price that you will pay later of nothing getting done. As I stumbled and I fumbled to improve my life, the one thing I was missing was the discipline to follow through on the tasks that I needed to realize my dreams. I had to put that last piece of the puzzle together. And I heard the angel speak loud and clear. "You can do it," they sang. But honestly, between you and me, I really didn't think I could do it. So the one thing that you want to do today may be sabotaged by a little voice inside your head saying that you cannot do it. And whatever you're facing right now, if you doubt you can do it, let the angel song be your mantra. You absolutely can do it. Just try on that belief. See how it feels. And then take the next step to the thing you think you cannot do. That beautiful plan that you work to develop, perfect, to create, it's begging for completion. Your heart is yearning to live the life you envision, and your soul is thirsty to complete the steps necessary and to reach your goals. The key to getting there is self-discipline. Your ability to develop the habit of self-discipline will contribute more to your success than any other quality or character. And that's what Brian Tracy said. Okay, and I'm going to repeat it because Brian Tracy focuses so much on self-discipline. Your ability to develop the habit of self-discipline will contribute more to your success than any other quality or character. That's how powerful it is. And it's not just because I'm a procrastinator. It's because if you're not disciplined to do the things that you have to do, can pretty much kiss your life goodbye. I'm drinking this delicious chai tea. Okay, and that's one page. Oh, wait, it's not even a full page. I think it is. That's my full page. And then the next step from here would be the habit, because if you can turn self-discipline into a habit that you will automatically step into without having to try, then you become more powerful to a very, very big level. So self-discipline is a habit and can be created just like every other habit with consistent repetition. And let me give you a quote by Herbert Gray, which is what we quote here next. Successful people are those who make it a habit of doing what unsuccessful people don't like to do. Successful people don't like to do these things either, but they do them anyway because they realize it's a price of success. That's what Herbert Gray said. And Napoleon Hill said that self-discipline is the master key to your riches, because, of course, he was talking about making money. So in short, self-discipline gives you the ability to really be able to go after what you want. And if you don't go after what you want, you will never have it. Don't ask. The answer is always no. If you don't step forward, you're always in the same place. And that's why I finish my quotes. And that's when my next page starts. Robert, should I read one more page? Okay. So. Yeah?
Yes.
You think I should?
Why? Because, well, no, actually, maybe you want to explain what you have there, because that was a lot of information.
It was.
Yes. Mm. You know, I'd hit some of the highlights. You know, give us one word about each topic there, and in your own words.
It is my own words, but, like, give me a question.
What's the last habit that you worked on that was really successful because you worked it as a habit?
Okay, so beginning to form a habit in the beginning, you find a million excuses not to do it because it's hard to do. But once you do it on a consistent basis, you really have to try not to do it because it comes part of what you want to do. So for example, for me, like I told you, I wanted to create this habit, and it sounds stupid, and it sounds like it's really simple to do. But what I wanted to do was drink a cup of water first thing when I woke up. And I like water. It's not that I don't like water. And then after that, I wanted to do my spiritual thing, either meditate or pray or whatever it is that I felt that I wanted to do that day. So that seems like a really simple thing to do. But if it isn't your habit, all of a sudden, there's like a million other things that I would have to do. Like I would get up and there would be a glass of water right next to me. But before I would pick it up and drink it, I'd run into the shower. All of a sudden, taking a shower became like one of the most important things for me to do. I take a shower, I come out, and the water was still here. So I would take a sip. And then I would find that I have to run downstairs and something to do. And I came back, and the water was still there. And sometimes at first, literally, and I get up between 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning, at 11 o'clock, that glass of water was still standing there. And it was getting really crazy. I was like, what is wrong with you? You like drinking water. And I like the way it tastes. It's not like I don't like it. A lot of people think drinking water is one of the worst things in the world. And then I wanted to meditate. And so I started keeping track on every day whether I was meditating or not. And it turned out that one day I did, 10 days I didn't, 2 days I did, 5 days I didn't, one day I did. You know, it wasn't consistent. And I realized that I needed to form a habit, because if I did the habit, I open my eyes, I drink the cup of coffee, I meditate for 10 minutes, even 3 minutes. Which is nothing, then it would get done. And I had to work through that resistance of getting up every morning, wanting to jump out of bed, but having that glass of water prepared for me to drink. And it took a lot of effort. It took a lot of effort to do it. I would say for about, they say that 21 days forms a habit. I don't think 21 days always forms a habit. It definitely begins to. But I would say it's more like a month or two. So for me, 2 months of going through this jumping around of doing it, now it's not even a problem. I wake up, the water is there, I drink as much as I want, and I'm done. I meditate sometimes 3 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes half an hour, no problem. Because I made the decision that I wanted to do it, and I had to go through all those resistances that didn't want me to do it for some reason. I don't even know why. So now when it's a habit, it's not hard anymore. It's not an effort. It's not anything. It's like, boom, you get up, I do it, it's done. 15 minutes, done deal. So that's one of my big things that I realized. That if I just go through the zone, kind of like school. It's kind of like school. You go to learn a new way of doing things. And once you go through that, then it's there for life. You never, ever have to struggle with it again. It's just like if you walk into your room and you want to clean something. And if you just pick it up and clean it, it's done, over with. But if you look at it and you say, you know, I have to do this and I have to do this. And 3 weeks later, it's still there and you still have to do it. And it's still not done. And all it would take is maybe 5 minutes, depending on what it is, from 1 to 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and boom, it's done forever. And it's the same concept that you hit every single part of your life. So it's getting into doing it and being able to say, hey, you know what, Robert? I wasn't able to drink my cup of water today. I want to kill myself. I mean, that's a little bit dramatic, but and having the ability of you saying, you know what, it's okay, try again tomorrow. It kind of validates the fact that you're not alone and that you're not the only one going through it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. But how long have you been drinking water consistently now? Did you drink your water this morning?
Well, now it's been a long time. So it's like, I don't even know, maybe a year or two. But I'm saying the beginning.
You do drink your water now every day routinely?
Yeah. I wake up in the morning. That's the first thing I do. I have stomach issues, digestive issues that I really need to address first thing in the morning. And that's one of them. But no matter what you do, if you drink water first thing in the morning, you have more energy. You have more stamina. Your mind gets clearer somehow. But the thing that people think is that they have to force themselves to drink a certain amount of water, and that's what stands in the way. Excuse me. It's not how much you drink. You drink as much as your body wants to. You have a glass of water standing there. Oh, my God. I need water. You have the glass of water standing there, and if you drink a half a cup and your body says, okay, that's enough, you don't have to force yourself to finish the whole thing. So it's about measuring how much you need. Some mornings, if you ate salt last night, you might want to drink 2 cups of water. But most of the time for me, it's between a half a cup and a cup of water. But I like water, so it's really not even an issue. But still, it was an issue to get into the habit. Make sense?
I think the discipline is to drink a full cup first thing in the morning, isn't it?
Yes, and that's really good. But like I said, if you drink a half a cup and you just feel so bloated, then a half a cup is fine. And then tomorrow you might drink 3 quarters, and the next day another 3 quarters. It's not about stuffing your face with even water. It's about getting into the habit of drinking water first thing in the morning, which is a great habit, I think.
Yes, that makes sense.
So that's an example of what I was talking about. So getting back, self-discipline is also a habit, and it can be created just like every other habit with consistent repetition. But self-discipline is something that I have identified, and this guy, he put it in such a great way. And the way he put it is, people that procrastinate, your brain, let's say, is standing behind the wheel of your life, okay? He's driving. He's in charge. He's on the boat. But what happens is, when there is something that you have to do and you're not doing it, people that are procrastinators have something that people that are not procrastinators don't have. They have this little monkey that gets behind the wheel and starts driving your brain. So instead of doing what it is that you want to do, like, for example, you want to answer very, very important emails need to be taken care of. And you know you're going to do that at 10 o'clock. But at 9:45, the monkey takes control. And the monkey decides that instead of doing emails, he's now going to have a conversation with someone who is irrelevant and not important, that is going to take an hour before you're going to be able to sit down and do the emails. Because the monkey brain wants to have fun, and he would rather talk on the phone. And then when you get off the phone, you say, okay, fine, now is the time to do the email. But the monkey brain is still in control. And so instead of doing the email, you literally will go and do laundry, wash the dishes, go take the dog for a walk, go to Dunkin' Donuts, do all those things that the monkey brain thinks is more fun to do. And then all of a sudden it's 10 o'clock at night and those emails are not done yet. That's a procrastinator brain. That's what I mean. If you're a procrastinator, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're not a procrastinator, then you don't have a monkey in your brain. I love the way he did that. I love the way he explained it because it makes so much sense. It's totally what people will go through when they procrastinate. And you know, like I said, I really do think that we need a AAA meeting for it, because it is a life destroyer. It's totally a life destroyer. And so what I did last night, preparing for this hour, which I usually really, as a procrastinator, I don't do it last night. I would usually prepare 5 minutes before. But overcoming procrastination and being able to prepare things the night before, such a luxury. It feels so good that I can't even begin to describe. So I wrote a poem about procrastination, and I'm going to read it to you, Robert, okay? You tell me what you think of it.
Okay.
Close your eyes. Procrastination, what's the rush? Oh, wait a minute. I'm not reading you my poem. I'm reading you somebody else's poem, which I like better than my poem, because my poem I'll read you another time. This is a poem by David Ronald Bruce, not mine. I like it better than mine. But I wrote a poem yesterday, and then I saw this one. I said, this guy's better than mine. Anyway, so procrastination, what's the rush? I'll do it someday without a fuss. But until then, I'll take my time and maybe have a glass of wine. Why do it now when I can wait? I'll get it done before it's late. I work much better under stress. That's not true, I must confess. To be on time is not my thing, for I'm a procrastination king. See, if I would have wrote it, I would have wrote procrastination queen. But one day, be it late or soon, I'll sing a very different tune. I'll be on time, I'll get it done, although it won't be any fun. I'll be responsible, you'll see, and you'll be very proud of me. But until then, I'll take my time. Now, where's that third glass of wine? They say tomorrow never comes, so maybe then I will succumb. By David Ronald Bruce. Isn't that a great poem? Mine is almost as good, but it's really not as good. But if you want me to read you mine, I will.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Want me to read you my poem? Okay, hold on.
Don't procrastinate. I want to hear this poem.
Okay, I'll read you my poem because we're running out of time. And I actually took the time to put it into my book. So let me see where I put it. Here it is. Okay, so basically this is really, it's called The Final Frontier. And it's about really finally getting over the pain of everything that you go through when you procrastinate. Because you really go through a lot of pain and a lot of punches, and a lot of things that you really are necessary. And for me, as I was writing this book, I was writing how I went through a lot of challenging periods and how the things that I learned about planning and about discipline changed my life, and about organization. It was planning, discipline, organization. Those three things that changed my life. So this is called The Final Frontier. And I think I have time to read all of it. Hold on. It's a two-page poem. No, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's too long. It took me all night. But I'm just going to read a little bit at the beginning. So as I rolled with the punches and that flew my way, I fell flat on my back where I wanted to stay. But the fall was painful and the bliss was broken. If I choose to remain, the resentment would grow. It would nurture the pain. My life as I knew it will no longer be sustained. Show me the way, I begged all the angels. How do I embrace all those changes? How can I wash the pain away? How am I free and delighted to stay? I searched for answers from the bottom of the pit. On my back in the mud, I started to squeak. It came to me in the middle of the day. I knew right then and there it was here to stay. Accept the ebb and the flow and the punches. Yes, he was wrong, but forgive all the punches. Let the law of the order of the life to maintain and allow your bones to gather up again. With the little strength I had left in my bones, I screamed, I protested, I got ready for a drone. He's evil, I yelled, and I wiggled. Look what he did, I pointed my finger. The scream drained a bit of strength I had. I fainted and I allowed the tears to flow while I wept. I gathered some strength and I opened my eyes. And I didn't want to waste it on crying tonight. Accept and forgive and allow it to heal, came the voice once again. Simple and patient, simple and plain. Accept and forgive and then do it again. I finally embraced it until my bones were full of grace. I accepted and I never rejected and allowed the pain to pass. I forgave all the pain and it chose not to remain. It was fine once again, blowing bliss on the terrain. I explored the true nature of the rain. Everything seemed to sing again. I danced through a week, a month, a year. Once again, the blows knocked on my door. It huffed and it puffed and it banged with all his might until it got me once again, never failing, never tamed. I fell on my face, on my nose, and on my dream. I bled and I tasted the blood on the theme. I cried and remained on my face for a while. Son of a bitch, he did it again. I wailed and I kicked. My nose wasn't healing. My ears weren't hearing. My eyes couldn't see for it bled out on the sea. But I knew I would die if I swallowed the blood. I knew it was over if I stayed in the mud. This time I remember the drill and the words, accept, forgive, allow the bliss to explode. On my face, I forgave. Let it go. I calmed down. I calmed myself down. In the blood, I released all the anger that had doubled. I was shocked once again when the pain disappeared. I was learning, but not so quickly, that it will never go away. There will always be highs and lows and suffering and blows. There will always be acceptance and forgiveness as it shows. I know it's the cycle of life. It's the nature within which we live, the nature of the beast and the remedy it brings. The next time they punch, I will never fall that low. I knew that every time I heal, I prosper and I grow. I will reach the day I long for, filled with bliss, joy, and glow. If I stay within the realm of desire that is pure, an intention that heal, an acceptance of all things, I know I will forget and be reminded and be true. I will find abundance in everything I do. My wish, my dream, my world, when it's blue, I should only send you love to maintain, contain, and grow. I may run and I may fall. I may scream and I may call. But at the the bottom line, the important paradigm that is constant and it's blue, my perspective that has changed is the realization that I can. I can send you love and joy no matter what you do, no matter what you say. The truth will never sway. Okay, I read the whole thing. Would you like it?
Tippy, that was the most remarkable and amazing story. I'm so glad you read it. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. Wow, that was great. I'm so happy you liked it. So basically, that's really the bottom line, is that life gives us a whole bunch of things that we have to deal with. And it's how you deal with it that makes a difference of how your life is going to live. So procrastination is one of those obstacles that all of us have to one extent or another. If it isn't debilitating, if it isn't stopping you from pursuing what you want to pursue, it isn't so bad. But still think about how much more powerful you would be if you overcame that. So I invite all of you to join us on Sunday, March 5th, to our great gathering of people that want to learn how to really live a life of pleasurable discipline, pleasurable productivity, and not only enjoy it for yourself and be able to actually share it with everyone else. And if you have any questions, feel free to send it to me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. I will be happy to answer, and I will answer everything probably within 24 hours or sooner. That's what I'm promising to do. Thank you so much for listening and joining us here today on Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. Thank you, Robert, for joining me and listening and being my soundboard. I truly, really appreciate it. And that is why I'm going to give you the last word. If anything that you have to say, Robert, you are going to do the exit, because as soon as we finish talking, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Newborn's new song called Gravity. So get ready to sit back, relax, and enjoy this beautiful song by Alan James from the Newborn Band. So, Robert, you have the last word.
Thank you so much, Tippi. Your poem, I would like for the listeners and myself to be able to get a copy of it. And if we write into Tippi Talk, could that be granted, Tippi?
Yes. Anybody that's writing into TippiTalkShow@gmail.com will get a copy of the poem.
So on that note, everyone write in to Tippi and enjoy this outgoing music. This has been Tippi Talk Show. Join us anytime. Thank you.
Gravity.